Let's change gears considerably, shall we, and talk about the battle of the broadband. Earlier this week, you might have heard that unions were alleging that Telstra's copper network was in a state of disrepair. Telstra chief David Thodey disagreed. He said that the copper will keep going for another 100 years. What is the truth? And it really matters because, of course, the big difference between the major parties on the NBN, and particularly the coalition's plan, and they look like they're set to win, is that it will only run fibre to the node, that is the street hubs, and then Telstra's copper wires will be used for the final link to your house. So, Angus Kidman joins us, editor of Lifehacker Australia for Technology Tuesday. He will tell us the truth. What is it, Angus?
The truth is a complex beast, Waleed, but the truth is that I think it is an exaggeration to say that the copper network is fine and that it will last us for the next 100 years, which is what David Thodey claimed. The copper network's in a mixed state of repair and it requires constant maintenance. This is where the problem comes in. It's often presented as, oh, well, the copper's there and it's fixed and that's fine, and so therefore, you know, we're good to go. Even if we weren't switching on some form of NBN, the copper just requires constant work. Things go wrong, water gets into it, cables get cut off, and it's been a maintenance challenge for a number of years. For several years, Telstra was agreeing with this kind of position that, yes, you know, the copper network was troublesome, it might be good to replace it. So it's an interesting kind of about-face for David Thodey to now start saying that, oh no, it's fine, it's all fine, it's all good, we really don't have to worry about it.
Well, you're saying it's an exaggeration, but is it equally an exaggeration on the part of the unions to say that it's in a state of disrepair?
I think it's fair to say that there are two core problems here. There are definitely areas that are problematic, especially when it's being serviced. I've had this experience myself a couple of years ago when the problems with the incoming telephone line where I live, and you could walk outside the house, and they came along and they repaired it, and the repair didn't work very well, and my speeds were much slower, and my calls dropped out, and you could actually see the cables were stuck in a plastic bag, pinned to the fence with electric tape, and this went on for a month. And I can't see this as a well-developed or well-maintained system. Mm. It would be an exaggeration to say that's happening to everyone, but it's certainly not uncommon.
So it's patchwork.
Yeah, there's sort of patchwork there. There are, you know, allegations that there's pressure for people to, you know, fix things quickly. They're getting paid to say we've done something to it, so they do that quickly and move on rather than spending a bit more time to try and fix something up and put it in place. The other challenge that exists with copper, and this would be a problem even if we weren't having issues with, you know, just having to maintain it, is that there's a finite limit to how much data you can throw down a copper wire. We're already past that limit in quite a few places. There's they use a technology known as pair gain to essentially try and get two lines onto one. It's very unfortunate if you live in a place where pair gain is what you've got, because you'll always have more restricted speeds. And so all of that would have to be dealt with even if we thought we were going to keep the copper coming from the node on the corner down into the house. So, you know, it is a messy scenario, and it's hard to see, you know, David Thodey doing anything other than positioning himself, presumably, for the assumption that, you know, the copper network is going to be kept because that's the plan that we're going to end up with.
Well, except it'd be a good time for him to lobby to the contrary, wouldn't it? I mean, the NBN's going ahead one way or another. We know that. Both parties agree on that. The question is the detail of how far the fibre goes. He could be saying, no, we really need to replace this, and that's exactly what we should be doing. And the argument he would mount, and I don't know what the figure would be, is that the amount you save by not building fibre to the premises will be eroded by maintenance. And if you could come up with some chart or something to demonstrate that, then presumably he'd be in a good position to make the argument.
Well, I know. I actually think he's looking at it from the point of view of a shareholder. If he can actually start arguing, hey, we've got this fantastic, valuable asset. You now want to use it. When you come to renegotiate the deal that you have with Telstra to access our pits and ducts because there's already a deal in place, he's now positioning this as a highly valuable asset. It's saying, right, hey, we've got this great system here. So if you've decided that suddenly you want us to keep it and you want us to maintain it, yeah, that's going to cost you. So I think that's the driver. I don't think it's got anything to do with the consumer experience at all.
No, of course not.
It's the assumption that if copper is going to be needed, we're going to now say that copper is valuable. When it looked like fibre was going to be needed, we were happy to say that, oh no, the copper's terrible, we'll need to get the fibre in.
Oh, that's scandalously conspiratorial of you, Angus, I have to say. Hey,
well,
it's not at all. Before I let you go, this started a retention scheme. It's been a big talking point, particularly among tech heads such as yourself, for a long period of time. The government coming up with a scheme that would allow or require service providers to keep metadata for 2 years. Now there's been a parliamentary committee report into it that seems to be suggesting this shouldn't go ahead, as I understand it. Is this issue going away?
No, the issue isn't going away. The Parliamentary Committee report has effectively said, we don't think this is a good idea, but as we've been presented with no actual legislation, it's hard for us to come up with a specific recommendation. It has, it makes some fairly stern recommendations saying if we do introduce these kind of schemes, they have to be very tightly regulated. We have to have guarantees of encryption. We have to have limits on the kind of data that's able to be stored. This can't be introduced with very vague general terms. So those statements have been made, but there's no active legislation. There's no suggestion at the moment we'll see legislation going through Parliament this week, but the issue won't disappear because it's actually something that both the major sides of politics are broadly in favour of. The opposition to this idea has tended to come from the Greens and other minority parties. So in some form, this issue is going to return, and whether the committee recommendations have any influence on that is a really open question right now, I think.
Yeah, no, indeed. Well, no doubt we'll talk about it another time then, Angus. I appreciate your time tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Angus Kidman, editor of Lifehacker Australia. It's just coming up to 19 minutes to 8. That means we're off to the drawing room very, very soon, and it's going to be lots of fun, I promise. Well, it's been a hard day, I know. It's been difficult. Someone said it's not heavy, it's beyond words, some of the stuff we've been speaking about. I understand. It's important stuff. We had to do it. And thank you for your correspondence on all of it. For example, Fran in Frankston says, this is on garments made in Bangladesh. I buy secondhand for exactly the reasons illustrated so graphically and tragically in Bangladesh. Plus, there's too much stuff in the world already. And yes, a lot of you clearly agree with that, according to the text traffic I'm getting. But the question is, if we all buy secondhand, then those jobs just disappear. Will their lives actually get any better if we do that? I don't know. It's tricky, isn't it? Thank you very much for your correspondence. We are off to the drawing room.